Step Aside, Smokey the Bear, and Ranger Rick. Thirsty the Duck is back in action, and we're talking about this male mallard's revival on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thirsty the Duck first met the public at the Wisconsin State Fair in 1961. And back in the day, Thirsty was the mascot for the conservation group Wetlands for Wildlife. Now he's back on the job promoting wetland conservation. Do you live near a wetland or do you have wetlands on your property? What type of wetland do you have? How long have you lived there? How do you keep your land and water healthy? We're at 800-642-1234. Brian Mookie is a hunter, originally from Elkhorn. He resurrected Thirsty the Duck, who is a public symbol meant to protect and preserve Wisconsin's wetlands. Brian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Kate, good morning. Thanks for having Thirsty and me with you this morning. Glad for the opportunity.
Very good. So for those who haven't met Thirsty or who aren't familiar with him, who is Thirsty the Duck?
Well, Kate, Thirsty's been around for a long time, almost 60 years. Thirsty the Duck was first introduced in 1961 at Wisconsin State Fair Park, and he was a symbol of a new organization named Wetlands for Wildlife. You see, back in the 1950s and 60s, organizations like Ducks Unlimited were protecting wetlands and investing in habitat in Canada. But during this time, wetlands continued to be drained in the United States, and it seemed there was little interest or effort by any organization in protecting wetlands here in the United States. So five sportsmen from Wisconsin, one of them being the world-famous artist and conservationist Owen Grommey, together started an organization called Wetlands for Wildlife. Now, this fledgling organization first started in the 1960s, soon had chapters and members across the country, and the organization had a real simple mission to preserve the wetlands of our country.
But it didn't really last that long. It was like 6 years, and then that went away. What happened to Thirsty?
Well, you know, Thirsty went into retirement. I'm not sure. There were reports of him down in Texas and Florida, but he always seemed to head back in spring, head north. So he's been dormant for a couple of years in kind of perpetual migration.
So how did you find him? How did you resurrect this artwork?
Well, part of it is my family's from the Horicon Marsh area, from the Mayville area, and Thirsty's origins really started there in Mayville. They had a very active chapter of Wetlands for Wildlife in the Mayville area, and Thirsty was actually created by a gentleman that worked on the Horicon Marsh. He was actually a wildlife manager working for the state of Wisconsin. He actually created the artwork for Thirsty, and then the organization adopted him and really brought him to life and pulled him off the page.
And you have a really strong connection to the outdoors, to hunting. It's really in your lifeblood. Why take it upon yourself to bring Thirsty the Duck back?
Well, you know, I think part of it is what the outdoors have done for me. You know, it's been such a big part of my life. And then if I look back at my mentors and even look back at all of the other conservation leaders and what they have done through the years, this is really, you know, just I look at my personal responsibility to, you know, in my time to do what we can to, you know, even if it's just myself, to do more for wetlands. And, you know, by bringing Thirsty back, kind of communicating that message to others. I think that's something a lot of hunters have. It's part of their sportsman ethos, is that connectivity to the outdoors and also the respect and responsibility that comes with that activity, just because of that close connection that they've built with the outdoors, may it be wetlands or the wildlife.
And so when you're out and about with Thirsty, what type of message are you trying to send about our wetlands here in Wisconsin?
Well, right now, Thirsty has really come back, and out of frustration and disgust. And that's coming back to the Wisconsin State Waterfowl Stamp. The stamp hasn't been increased in over 20 years. This is a stamp that is purchased by duck hunters, but really should be purchased by anybody that cares about the outdoors, whether you're a birder, a paddler, an outdoor enthusiast, because 100% of the revenue generated from the Wisconsin Duck Stamp goes right towards the management of our wetlands. It doesn't go to buying more public land or buying more wetlands, but it goes to managing, improving, and the wetlands we already have. So he's really coming back to kind of gather public support, create public awareness, and really public engagement to send a message up to Madison and say, hey, let's give our ducks a raise.
Brian Mookie is a hunter originally from Elkhorn. He has resurrected Thirsty the Duck, who is a mascot meant to protect and preserve Wisconsin wetlands. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you live near a wetland, or do you have wetlands on your property? What type of wetland do you have? How long have you lived there, and how do you keep your land and water healthy? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Brian, the Horicon Marsh Bird Club says over the years there have been a total of 304 species of birds spotted there. Hundreds. So when you've hunted in Wisconsin, what's it been like to see these ecosystems within Horicon Marsh?
Well, you know, it's really wonderful. I like to go out on big wildlife areas like the Horicon Marsh because, number one, you can get lost in them. And I don't mean physically lost. I mean getting away from the distractions of life, and you can get lost and really be present in the moment. In areas like the Horicon Marsh and other wetlands, like you said, the vast variety of birds, you never know what you're going to see in a morning on the marsh. So it's really wonderful to be able to escape. And really, it's just a short drive away from, depending on where you live. There's so many opportunities in Wisconsin, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes away to really escape into a wetland and see all of the life that is out there.
How has the marsh changed or evolved, if anything, since you were a kid?
Well, I think what I've seen more so is, I guess it's from runoff. You know, we see more sedimentation in the marsh. You know, areas that were deeper have now filled in and are shallower. We're also now seeing more invasive species. So, I mean, that's something that we need to be more concerned of. But in relationship to the amount of birds, I think to some extent, you know, us duck hunters have always complained there's never enough birds in the air or never enough ducks coming into our decoys. But that's been something that's been common for a number of years, and our duck populations are very healthy. And our wetlands are still a wonderful place to be enjoyed.
The Wisconsin Wetlands Association says our state used to have 10 million acres of wetlands. Now we're down to 5 million. Why is that? Where are they going?
Well, you know, some of that a lot of it is because of development, and when you, and also over the course of history, agriculture, you know, coming in, changing the landscape to produce crops and so forth. And actually back in the 50s and 60s, when we first started talking about wetlands for wildlife, there were actually government subsidies to actually drain wetlands. So things have changed quite a bit, but there's still a number of, you know, issues. It's still a fight out there to keeping our wetlands from being drained, filled, and polluted. So they play such an important role. I mean, in big public issues right now, clean water, flood control, that all comes down to wetlands. And when we lose these wetlands, they're actually like sponges. They hold the water, they slow it down, and then they filter that water. When we remove all these sponges, all of these wetlands, that flow just increases. And with that comes erosion, sedimentation, and that just trickles downstream, which affects our aquifers, our clean water, and then you got more flood damage and everything else coming further down.
So where does the Wisconsin waterfall stamp fit in here? It's $7. How does that impact wetlands?
Well, like I mentioned before, the wetlands, the waterfall stamp is used 100% for the management and improvement of the wetlands, and actually also nesting habitat. So this stamp revenue isn't going into a general fund in Madison. Actually, by state statute, 2/3 of the revenue is spent in Wisconsin, and 1/3 of it is also spent in projects in Canada. In fact, every year, most of the stamp revenue in Wisconsin is used to improve wildlife areas on public lands, areas that we all enjoy. So, in another thing, Kate, your listeners might not know is that the state of Wisconsin currently manages over 278 miles of dike, 656 water control structures, and over 1,000 impoundments. Now, this wetlands infrastructure deteriorates over time, and the costs associated with maintenance and management only continues to increase, while the revenue from the state duck stamp has not. And each year, you know, many of these habitat projects requesting stamp funding are turned away simply because there's not enough money available in the state waterfowl stamp fund.
And the stamp hasn't increased in price since the 90s, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. 1997 was the last time we saw an increase, so it's been 20 years.
So that's quite a while in order to be able to pay for a lot of these projects that could perhaps really help preserve wetlands around Wisconsin.
Right.
What are some of the big projects that you see benefiting wetlands that are really productive?
Well, we've seen a lot of money go in large wetlands like the Horicon Marsh, but also in smaller wetlands scattered throughout the state. So it's really across statewide that you're going to see that these funds are going and making improvements. So like I mentioned, it might be water control structures, it might be ditches, and all of this is to hold water for waterfowl as they're staging or as they're breeding. And it's not just waterfowl, it's all of the other animals. It's a huge ecosystem. I mean, if you've ever been to a marsh, it's amazing the life. You scoop a glass of water, and it's amazing everything that's swimming around in it. It's just like, wow, what an ecosystem. And that is really benefiting all the wildlife, all the birds, and so forth. So it's really an amazing area.
Thirsty the Duck has been brought back to life. His mission is to convey that ducks need habitat, ducks need marshland. He was originally a cartoon character drawn up in 1960. Do you belong to a conservation or hunting organization? What's your message? Should preservation efforts change in the state? We're at 800-642-1234. Brian Mookie is our guide. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with more Wisconsin Weekend in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the revival of Thirsty the Duck on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The 2019 version of Thirsty has a platform. He's making a case for increasing the price of the Wisconsin waterfowl hunting stamp, and the stamp is required of waterfowl hunters in the state. It costs $7 or so and hasn't been raised in more than 20 years. Are you a birder or outdoor enthusiast? Have you ever been to Horicon Marsh? What plants and animals did you see there? What was it like? Are you a waterfowl hunter? Where do you go to hunt in Wisconsin? How would you describe the current conditions of our wetlands? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brian Mookie is a hunter who resurrected Thirsty the Duck to be a symbol meant to protect and preserve wetlands, and he stays with us. Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Tom joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
The wetlands benefit everybody. A lot of people, in the big picture, they allow the evaporation of water up into the sky, and then the water comes over and it drops on the farmers' fields. And if your fields are watered enough, your production goes up. And most people don't realize this, how very, very important, how money in your pocket, it will actually put money in your pocket, in your bank account, if you keep your wetlands in shape, and all around the country. And one, we've destroyed most of our wetlands, so it's very, very important, and there's the profit and there's benefit to it.
Tom, thanks for the call. Brian, you've heard a lot of public support to increase the price of the waterfowl stamp for hunters, and you've met with lawmakers. What have they said?
Well, Kate, that's exactly right. I mean, we've got the hunting community, the duck hunters that are required to purchase this stamp, and they're supportive of the stamp increase, and the organizations that represent them support it. And that's, you know, another reason back why Thirsty came back is it's frustrating that there's a coalition of support, and in fact, there has been for several years, and therein lies our frustration, I guess, with our politicians. I mean, we've got hunting organizations like Ducks Unlimited, Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, Wisconsin Conservation Congress, and other organizations organizations that represent the waterfowl hunting community in Wisconsin, and they've supported an increase in the price of the stamp for many years, but every year it seems our representatives in Madison either don't get the message or they don't listen, whether it be assembly members, senators, or our governor. Each year our ducks and our wetlands lose.
So how does our price for the Wisconsin waterfowl stamp compare to other states?
Well, that's actually a good point. You know what? I kind of have some pride and always thought that, you know, Wisconsin was a leader in conservation. I mean, we've got such great champions in the state's history, like Aldo Leopold, Gaylord Nelson, Owen Grammy, Lewis Radke, and many, many others. So feeling a little Wisconsin pride, I compared the state duck stamp prices in other nearby states. And quite frankly, I was disappointed to find hunters in other states doing much more. For instance, in Michigan, hunters pay $12 for a stamp. Iowa, $11.50. Ohio, $15. Illinois, $15.50. Yet Wisconsin state stamp is only $7. I think hunters in Wisconsin are willing to do a little bit more for our wetlands.
So in the last minute or so we have with you, can you tell us if we would like to meet Thirsty the Duck? He'll be making an appearance at the Horicon Marsh Festival this weekend. What will that be like?
Oh, I that'll be a fantastic time. The Horicon Marsh Bird Club put on a wonderful event. It's a great way to connect with the Horicon Marsh and really see its importance and value to wildlife and to birds. And they put on a great program full of activities for the whole family. Thirsty will be there Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 12 at the Horicon Marsh Visitors and Education Center. So I really encourage everyone to come out to the Horicon Marsh.
And since Thirsty has come out of retirement, are there other dates on Thirsty's calendar?
You bet there is. He's also going to be at the Midwest Outdoor Heritage Education Expo. Now, I'm told that this is like the largest outdoor skills fields trip in the country. Over 3,000 students attended last year, and that's on Wednesday, May 15th and Thursday, May 16th in Poinette, Wisconsin. And then Thirsty will be back in the Horicon Marsh on Saturday, June 22nd for the annual Paddle the Marsh Water Tour. So there are a number of wonderful events to meet Thirsty the Duck and also enjoy our Wisconsin outdoors.
Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Brian Mookie resurrected Thirsty the Duck, a mascot with a mission to protect and preserve Wisconsin wetlands. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a look at the history of Wisconsin's name.
We recently received a flurry of questions through the Wisconsin Project from the fourth grade class at Mineral Point Elementary School. Most of the questions were about the state of Wisconsin. Questions like, how did Wisconsin get all of its cows? And who invented the state dog? We sent WPR's Mary Kate McCoy to investigate.
When I saw these questions come in, I got really excited. It's because I'm from Mineral Point, and one question in particular stood out to me, from Josie Dunn. Because, full disclosure, I've known Josie for a long time.
Josie, we know each other, don't we?
Yeah.
How do we know each other?
You were my old babysitter.
Mm-hmm. We had some fun, didn't
mm-hmm.
we? You wrote a question to Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and what was your question?
How did Wisconsin get its name?
And why do you want to know the answer to that?
Because Wisconsin's a really unique name for a state, and I just really wanted to know why it was mainly called Wisconsin.
And what do you think the answer is?
Maybe the person who, like, lived in the state didn't really have a name yet, maybe made Wisconsin a state and named it after him.
And are you excited to find out the answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that's a somewhat tricky question to answer. But what we do know is that it came from the Algonquian language family, spoken by Wisconsin tribes like the Menominee, Ojibwe, Potawatomi, and Mohican. And it certainly was not pronounced Wisconsin.
I was always told it was Wiscosec, and some people have said Wiscosin. There's a Wiscosec, a Wiscosec.
Napoose is an elder in residence at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, a member of the Menominee tribe.
To translate that would be basically the first part comes from the word Wishkyu, which means something good. And that ending is more, what you would say, locative. Then you would say a good place to like camp or to make a clearing or to basically live.
Rand Valentine is a University of Wisconsin-Madison linguistics and American studies professor. He offers another interpretation.
The word Wisconsin originates from an Algonquian language word, meskusing. And Meskwesing is probably Miami, Illinois language, but possibly Ojibwe. It's a little bit uncertain. And the word translates as where it lies red. And the best guess is that's making reference to the red cliffs around the Dells.
But once the French got a hold of the word, Napoo says its pronunciation started to change.
The big confusion, though, was when the French came in. A lot of those names were mistranslated because basically they couldn't pronounce them.
Many scholars trace a European adoption of the name Wisconsin to the missionary and explorer Father Jacques Marquette. Valentine says the change came after he traveled across Wisconsin from Green Bay to the Mississippi River with fur trader Louis Joliet and two Miami Indians as guides.
He recorded this word as their word for the Wisconsin River. They themselves were refugees here in Wisconsin. There was lots of turmoil in the 17th century.
So then where did the W come from? Valentine says that came from a simple misreading of the text.
There was a famous map maker, and he showed the name to LaSalle, who mistook the first two letters, which were just this very flamboyant M, as O-I, which he interpreted as we.
Over time, as more English speakers settled into the area, the French spelling was changed to the more English W. Napoos and Valentine agree that knowing where the name comes from is powerful.
If you're a language speaker, you should know what that means by breaking it down. And that's the importance of language, because if you don't have that quality, then you're just reciting.
When we recognize that this state's very name comes from one of the languages of the country's first people, it will perhaps give us a greater appreciation for their place, not just in the past, but in the present.
WPR's Mary Kate McCoy brought us this story. And Josie's question came to us through the Wisconsin Project. We'll hear even more questions from the Mineral Point fourth graders on the Larry Mueller Show on May 15th. Submit your own questions and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@WPR.org, and we'll explore your tip for a future Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.